This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Tomorrow, a look at growing discontent with the Patriot Act. It was passed to combat terrorism after 9/11. Now, dozens of American cities have passed resolutions condemning it. We'll talk about why. Right now, we'll turn to the challenge of rebuilding Iraq's schools. Years ago, Iraq's education system was considered as perhaps the best in the Middle East. But decades of war and sanctions left Iraq's schools in shambles, and according to some, political ideology also took its toll. In an article that ran in yesterday's New York Times, Middle East scholar Phoebe Marr pointed to some samples from 5th and 6th grade textbooks in national education. Phoebe Marr joins us now from her home in Washington, D.C. Good to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Nice to be here.
And, of course, you all can join the conversation, too. Our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, the email address TOTN@NPR.org. And, Phoebe Marr, could you start us off with a sample of how ideology affected the way kids were taught in Iraq?
Well, from these sample textbooks, this was a civics course for the 5th and 6th grades, and the texts were different. But perhaps not surprisingly, they emphasized nation building. In one particular textbook with a very heavy emphasis on militarism. If you like, I can read you a sample.
Sure, go ahead.
One paragraph says, "Our principal duty is to our nation is its defense and protection from conquerors and those who are covetous or, you know, desirous in order to maintain its freedom, its pride, its dignity, and its independence. There are many ways to defend the nation. The most important is the bearing of arms and the constant readiness to fight enemies." This sort of gives the flavor. And it goes on to describe, of course, who some of the enemies are.
I was just going to ask about that.
In this text and others, it's pretty clear it's the Persians, the Iranians, of course, reflecting the Iran-Iraq war, and then the Zionists, NATO allies, and the Americans. And it frequently mentions, of course, what we call the Gulf War.
And they call the mother of all battles.
They call the mother of battles. That's quite clear. Yes.
Now, do you find this type of material across the curriculum?
I haven't looked at the entire curriculum. I have to make clear that I have a sampling of textbooks, civics courses, some history, and some geography. So this may be mitigated somewhat in other textbooks, but frankly, these are the courses in which the regime is trying to get across to, at very early age, to their children, the main values that they want them to adhere to. So I believe in looking at these sample textbooks to get some kind of flavor of what's being taught. This doesn't mean, of course, that they're getting it in math or science or perhaps even Arabic language.
Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, Iraq, I guess before the Iran-Iraq war, was perhaps the most literate Arab country, now down to, I think the last UN figure I saw was 53%. What about teachers? How much were they trained to promote Ba'ath party line? And is it going to be difficult for them to make a transition to a different type of teaching?
Frankly, I think the Ba'ath put a lot of emphasis in the education to at least mold not only the students but the teachers. It's not clear to me that all teachers and students who read this stuff believe it. I'm not making that claim. But they put a lot of emphasis in having people in the teacher training schools be Ba'ath Party members. And I have got in front of me the curriculum guide, you know, for each of these courses. They tell teachers what to teach and what to emphasize and so on. I have no doubt whatever that the aims and goals of the Ba'ath Party were told to teach those and to emphasize them.
Now, after the Gulf War, or the mother of battles, the Kurds, who ran their own autonomous enclave in northern Iraq, threw out, as I understand it, the official Iraqi textbooks and wrote their own. What have they been teaching?
Well, their textbooks are extremely interesting. That's how I came across these texts, incidentally. I was trying to see what the Kurds were teaching, and I got my hands on the Iraqi textbooks as well. They threw out these civics courses, and I would say they emphasized two things. They did teach students that they live in Iraq, but they emphasized very heavily Kurdistan, Iraqi Kurdistan, and that they were living in a Kurdish entity. But when it came to civics, what kind of a citizen they were trying to train, it was totally different, and I think quite good. They talked about developing. They had 2 pages on human rights, which I thought was quite remarkable. They talked about rights and obligations of students. They used the family as an example of how to behave in a nation. And most of this military stuff that you found in at least the sixth grade textbook in Baghdad was totally eliminated. It, in fact, was a totally different civics class. And if we're looking for an example of, you know, the kind of citizen in a democratic society we'd like to create, it wouldn't be bad to take a look at the Kurdish textbook.
Now let's get a listener involved. Joining us now is Nader. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. In Laguna, is it Nigel or Nigel in California?
Laguna Niguel, California, and you pronounce it very well. Thank you very much for your beautiful show that you have.
Thank you.
I am a Shiite Muslim from Iran, and I'm a citizen of the United States. I've been here for 30 years. The reason I am opposing the changing the language and the culture of a community in Iraq is as follows. When a revolution succeeded in Iran and they changed the mullahs tried to change the language of the people and education of the people from Persian to Arabic, what happened? Now the children of the country are against the religion, the mullahs, exactly the people who were born after the revolution. Now if United States try to change the language, try to change the education of the people of Iraq, 20 years from now, you will have exactly the same situation that you have in Iran against the United States, and is going to be much, much worse than you have experienced up to now. The reason is because changing the culture of the people is absolutely unacceptable in any society.
Well, Phoebe Marr, does changing the textbooks raise the possibility of seeding the revolution down the road?
Well, the caller raises a really fundamental question, because of course it's not acceptable for a foreign country with a different quote unquote culture to come in and impose another culture on Iraq. Nonetheless, it certainly seems to me that the Iraqis themselves have been extremely unhappy about various aspects of that political culture, if we can call it that. And it was certainly not, I don't think it's up to the United States to write a new textbook for the Iraqis, but certainly it should give the opportunity to Iraqis themselves to reassess what is being taught. But if we're going to try to lay the groundwork for a more democratic society, certainly it seems to me that the kind of real anti foreign, in many respects, almost paranoid tone in this curriculum ought to be changed. And indeed, the most paranoid part of it is against the Iranians.
And from what you're saying, they could do a lot worse than just adopting the Kurdish text.
Well, no, there are some things about the Kurdish text. I mean, the whole there's a lot of Kurdish nationalism that perhaps should be looked at, but I'm just giving it as an example. The Kurds themselves found this textbook very objectionable, and it's just totally different in terms of what they're trying to teach their children about a more open, democratic society.
Just out of curiosity, was that those Kurdish textbooks, were they written in Arabic or in Kurdish?
Some in Kurdish. Most of them are being taught in Kurdish now, but some of them in Arabic, because, of course, many in the Kurdish area know Arabic and want to be taught in Arabic. So the ones that I have at my disposal are in Arabic. I don't read Kurdish, I read Arabic, so I was not able to read the Kurdish version.
Phoebe Marr, thanks very much for being with us today. Very interesting. Phoebe Marr is a Middle East scholar, and we reach her by phone here in Washington. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.